Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. Politics on the Navajo Nation, brought to you by Cal Nez Design, and hosted by Cal Nez himself.
Yes, it is that time of the evening. You are listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, the world voice of Navajo politics. We will open up the telephone lines after we have introduced the guests and we've talked about several things. And the telephone number here is 347-989-0048. Again, 347-989-0048. This is Cal Nez, your host. We have a full schedule at 7:30, Marty Shabala's Notebook, 8 o'clock, Mr. Bill Donovan, Newsflash.
Everybody, everybody's out there. We're ready to go and get rolling with the show this evening. This is Cal Nez, and to start off with, I want to talk about business. And business, doing business on the Native American communities and specifically to the Navajo Nation. If you remember some of the issues pertaining to sovereignty immunity or the waiver thereof, and if you remember the project that is in Las Vegas with the Hualapai tribe, some of the interesting thing about the waiver of sovereign immunity and how that it has affected them, they developed a Grand Canyon project called the Skywalk, a horseshoe-shaped crystal clear glass walkway that extends out about 70 feet from the rim of the Grand Canyon. So anyway, they found an investor, and the investor eventually put about $30 million into it, and they so I guess there's been a dispute going on for nearly a year. But here's the interesting thing. For all the listeners and all the tribal leaders out there, I would urge for us to take a note of this while we're talking about the waiver of sovereign immunity. There are reasons where this should happen, and in this particular case, they claim, and here is a direct quote, on February 11th, I believe that was this year or 2013, U.S. District Judge David Campbell ruled in favor of the of Jin, who is the investor. He found that the tribe, talking about the judge, had clearly waived its sovereign immunity, and that legal argument were what he says is odd, nonsensical, and wholly unconvincing. So there is a dispute there, and they ran into problems, and even though that this particular project was one of the biggest money-making, and they're probably, as it says, they are, since it opened in 2007, 1.4 million visitors have paid $30 to walk into space and look over the 4,000-foot down into the Colorado River. So while we're doing business, there are things that affect the lenders, the non-Indian lenders, investors, and developers. And so while they demand to be able to pierce some of the tribe's immunity, those are things that we need to be absolutely careful as we move forward. I'm sure there are reasons that are justifiable where at times when sovereign immunity is applicable, and in some case, I guess not. But when we're talking about into the millions of dollars, there are major, major hurdles that eventually come down the pike, like in this case for the Skywalk, which is owned, the tribe just came in and just took over the Skywalk, and now there's a huge dispute, and they obviously lost the judgment. Now they have to cop up $28.6 million. And so, FYI, that is my little something for you to think about out there, ladies and gentlemen. So, thank you very much. And this evening, we have just several things that are on the agenda this evening. We have, first, I would like to introduce the main topic and our featured guests from the Navajo Nations down there in Arizona. And I believe we have both of them on the phone. Well, in fact, I know they are both on the phone, and I welcome them, and I thank them for being with us this evening. And all of you that are out there listening, let me give you some background information as to why that I feature this. We've been talking about the Washington Redskins, or I should say it again, the Washington R word. And it's been an ongoing dialogue. We have had some national issues. I've even talked to the Washington Redskins office, and they've gone totally, absolutely silent. They're not replying back to me. I've left messages with the press officer, Tony Wiley, and so that situation is still yet to be resolved. And then we, of course, have had several things that are happening in terms of the Washington Redskins. If you look at the Indian Country today, you will notice that the owner, Dan Schneider, of the Washington Redskins is apparently going around the country trying to advocate on behalf of what he's doing. So we've had this ongoing discussion, and I am so very grateful that Amanda Blackhorse, who was also with us and was on, and unfortunately we had some things happen last week that were technical issues, but I thank her for being here on a weekly basis. And so, and again, all the listeners out there, you are welcome to call, even to say hi. I'm calling from wherever you're at, and or just to say hello to all the listeners. And our listener base is absolutely growing, and it's going off the chart. And I thank everybody for being a support and also being on Facebook on Politics on the Navajo Nation.
I don't see the
Honorable Council Delegate Joshua LeVar Butler. He is here with us this evening. You're taking the time to be with us this evening to talk about a legislation. And, of course, now this whole movement of the derogatory sports name is now going into the politics. And there's a lot of people who are saying that, hey, you know what? There are other things that we should be worried about. Yeah, of course, but there are statistics that are now going on at the elementary level as well as the at the universities. There are this issue of derogatory sports name is getting into the psyche or the well-being of the Native American students. So there is all sorts of issues, and I something that we've got to engage. It is we've got to put it to rest. We cannot just sit here on the sideline and say that this is just a it's just a sports team. Well, you know what? I mean, Redskins, there's all sorts of things that are associated with this. You know, if there are proponents, if people, I've read on Facebook, people saying that, you know what, it's just a sports name. I'm a Redskin. I'm proud to be a Redskin. And for all those listeners out there, I welcome you to call in to share what your reason, try to convince the rest of the Native American world, if you will, that there is, hey, you know what, there's an issue. So in any case, you know what, it comes down to having an open dialogue. And so the other night I was watching, or actually was online looking at the Navajo Times, and I noticed there was a, well, not Navajo Times, but the Farmington Daily Times, and I noticed that there was an article in there. And I thought, wow, this is absolutely incredible. Now the Navajo Nation is getting involved, and the Navajo Nation is not just using, hey, okay, Washington Redskin, here's a resolution or here's the legislation, this is what we're going to do. But now they are taking one step further, and this one step further is the UN resolution and or UN. Anyway, they have a tie-in, and I'll have our guests explain that. So, again, I'd like to introduce Navajo Nation Council Delegate, Mr. Joshua LeVar Butler. He's here with us. And Amanda Blackhorse. So, Mr. Butler, are you there, Amanda? Hello? I guess, can you guys hear me? Are you there? I hope everybody can hear me out there because I am not hearing anybody. Hello. Yeah, this is Cal Nez, and I am going to try to bring everybody back on. So, Mr. Butler, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Okay. I can. All right. I apologize. This is a little bit of technical issues, and so again, I'd like to introduce Mr. Joshua LeVar Butler, Navajo Nation Council Delegate from Tuba City area, and Ashinke Nijandehodozi.
All the listeners out here on this radio call-in show, I apologize as well. I'm just getting over battling 16 days of a cold, so I'll do my best, and hopefully my voice will last for the duration of this. program. But she Joshua Butler Inishia, Aldo Twinanes, the Dent Besh Bahata Uninishle, Aldo Shedone, a Twitichini Dona and Nishle, Aldo Kiani, a Bashishin, Aldo Tatnes, not a Dash Che, Aldo Trabaha, a Dashinella, Akut Ego de Nishle. And I'm currently serving my fourth year of a four-year term on the 22nd Navajo Nation Council. And I represent the chapter of Tuba City on the far western portion of the Navajo Nation near the Grand Canyon. So that's the chapter that I represent. And thank you also for having me on your show.
Okay, I appreciate it. And I welcome Amanda Blackhorse.
Good evening, Cal. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yes.
Hello? Okay, wonderful. Yat e she Amanda Blackhorse in Shedo Dishin Sarent Nasha Ashihin Shne Do Tachin Bashin Chitna Jinny Dashache Do Ashihin Dashanale A quick Ao E Son Shle. And hello, Mr. Butler. Thank you for all of your hard work, and I'm happy to be on the show tonight.
Yeah, that's incredible. So thank you very much. And again, I want to thank both of the guests for being with us. For all those listeners that are joining us, I noticed that the audience listeners are the buttons are starting to blink here, so they're now just starting to chime in. And so this evening we're going to be talking about the Navajo Nation legislation that is, I guess it's just going right into they dropped it today. So Mr. Butler, can you give us all the background information as to what exactly what you're doing, and talk about the United Nations connection to this?
Yes, the legislation that I dropped actually yesterday morning at the capital of the Navajo Nation at our Office of Legislative Council is simply legislation to oppose the usage of derogatory terms, such as the terms the Washington Redskins utilize. And I am seeking to establish an official position of the Navajo Nation opposing the continued use of disparaging epithets referencing Native people. And this unfortunate practice of using such names as Redskins with regard to Native people and our unique identity has to stop. It's blatant discrimination, racism, and ignorance. There have been many victories in this long fight for respect of our identities and also respect of our cultures around the country. The Navajo Nation can no longer afford to sit back and remain neutral regarding this national issue. We have found that our lack of action on this topic as a Navajo Nation undermines our overall advocacy efforts at the state level as well as the federal government level as well in Washington, D.C. And it affects our intertribal relations as well. We have worked with more than 500 tribes across the nation. I am very involved at the county, the state level, as well as the federal level, advocating on behalf of the Navajo people and on behalf of people in Indian country as well. And this action was spurred by the recent collaborations of Redskins owner Dan Snyder and our own Navajo Code Talkers Association as well. So the Navajo Nation must distance ourselves from these actions because, as mentioned before, they will detriment and undermine our advocacy efforts and also, more importantly, our intertribal relations with other tribes that we should be standing in unison with. Mr. Nez?
Yeah, okay. Now, could you also enlighten us on what the United Nations connection is? I know that there's verbiage in there that incorporates that in terms of the indigenous aspect of it.
Right. The United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People was, I believe, which began back in March 2008. The UN special, they call this person the UN special rapporteur, visited the United States and submitted a report on the United States in 2012 and found that stereotypes persist that despite that, hold on, please. I just had another call coming in. Hold on. Let me press that mute here. But we have, that was presented in 2012 to the United States, and it's disparaging. It's disparaging to Indian people, and that is practiced, and the practice of utilizing such terms is perpetuated by the use of these epithets, derogatory words such as Redskins. And these practices were found by the rapporteur to be obscure, and it also impedes a true and informed image of Native America. It helps to keep alive racially discriminatory attitudes as well. And again, outright blatant racism, discrimination, and ignorance is all what is being promoted by the usage of these terms. The United Nations passed a declaration recognizing this problem and opposing the practice, and that was a work that the Navajo Nation has also been involved with. During the last administration, during the 21st Navajo Nation Council, and even the 19th and 20th Council, we had strong advocates participating in the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, the drafting and so forth, and meeting. And these meetings were held in New York City as well as Geneva, Switzerland. And our own Vice President, Rex Lee Jim, when he was a council delegate on the Navajo Nation Council, participated. And he was one of the ones leading the effort on behalf of Indian Country. And he was he put a lot of work into this. In fact, today he still continues that work of pushing for human rights for all of Indian Country.
Yeah, well, that's very wonderful information to know that. So, you know, as this thing is beginning to evolve, you know, as you look at it, we have many tribes who already have, I believe, the Oneida Nation from back east. They are pretty heavily involved already. And I believe the National Congress of American Indian has already issued a press release or a position paper. And I believe many, like I've seen the National Indian Education. And so a lot of people are getting engaged, and now the world's largest Native American tribe, the Navajo Nation, is now getting involved and with the ties to something that is just beyond just talking about, hey, you know what, this is a sports name and we need to get rid of it. But now more in terms of the human rights on a global level. And I think that's, you know, something that people, all the listeners ought to understand. And so, Amanda, what's your thoughts on the move of the Navajo Nation in this legislation?
Well, I think that it is, it makes me very, very happy and very, very proud to be a tribal member, because this action was needed. You know, we needed this, and I think that, you know, when people look at this and they say, well, what about the Navajos? What are the Navajos doing about this? And you know, you have the tribe who at one point was saying, you know, we really don't want to get involved. We, you know, want to stay neutral. But I think that as we're gaining much momentum and people are starting to see how this is affecting Native American people as a whole, I think that, you know, the support is you know, it's there, and I think it's so wonderful. I think that Navajo people don't realize just how important their voice is and how tremendous our voice can be if we do tackle an issue, especially on this level, on a national level. And I think that I grew up on the res. You know, I understand, what it's like to feel a world away from the rest of the world. You know, I grew up on the res, you know, with my grandmother herding sheep. You know, we went weeks without even going into town. You know, we didn't really see an effect and how we didn't really see how people seen us or viewed us as Native people. And it wasn't until I left, until I went to college, that I got to see how people view us. And it's really disheartening. And that's where you receive all the racism. That's where you receive all of the discrimination. And it's not fair. And I think that we have that power to demand how we should be respected by the national community. And sports teams, people always say, you know, it's not a big deal. You know, get over it. You know, it's just a sports team or whatever. But the amount of influence that this sports team has or any other sports team has is tremendous on anybody. And so because we've seen this for so long, we become desensitized to it. And people don't really think about it until they go out and experience what it's like to be discriminated against and to be called negative names just because you're Native American at one of these games. And so I just want to say to Navajo people that this issue has been going on for many years. This has been going on for over 20 years, beginning with Suzanne Harjo's case, Harjo versus Pro Football. And they've been tackling the Washington team for many, many years. So this is not just something that has come out of the, thin air. This has been going on for a long time. And I think now people are starting to realize, you know what, it's not okay. We need to really rethink this issue and think about it on a larger scale. And the fact that, this is being looked at from, the United Nations perspective, now this is a global issue. This is not just, hey, this is how I feel and, people need to get over it. No, we need to look at this and we really need to educate ourselves on this issue.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And thank you. And we have a caller that's on the phone. Hey, caller, you are live. It is probably Sean. How are you, Sean? Caller, you are on the air. Do you have a question or a comment for our guest? Well, I guess they're just listening in. Some people do. So anyway, you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. For all you listeners out there, please, when you call in, be ready to voice your, get ready to speak. And also, please turn your radios down because there is a slight delay. And if you're listening to your radio or internet, or being on the telephone, it's just going to get you very confused. So, again, this evening we are talking about the legislation. Mr. Butler, can you give us the exact step of how your legislation, you say you dropped it in. Now, what are the steps that are going to take place in order to have this thing when the vote's going to happen? And I think by dropping in, it means that it goes through the process. And whatever that process, how long it's going to be and what's, give us all the detail on the legislation itself.
Okay, Cal, the legislation was drafted last week, and what prompted the drafting of this legislation was a meeting that was held February 28th, just a couple of Fridays ago, and we actually have an agenda. I believe that agenda was included in the legislative packet as an exhibit, where the Navajo Code Talkers met with Dan Snyder and members of the Washington Redskins. And at that point, when I had heard rumors of the Navajo Code Talkers Association in supporting and endorsing the usage of that term, that really prompted me to get the legislation drafted, and we had it reviewed by a few groups. One of them, of course, we had the Navajo Nation Human Rights Commission Office take a look at it, and at that point, we passed it down to other people, attorneys, and so forth. And it was the day before the Navajo Nation Human Rights Commission was getting ready to meet last Friday, and I had asked the director, Leonard Gorman, and also their policy analyst, Rodney Tahi, to consider drafting a support resolution from the commission. And they were able, and I'm very thankful to them for getting a support resolution drafted in record time. So they put that together, and last Friday, as you have read in the newspapers, the commission has unanimously endorsed my legislation using the verbiage and the information from my legislation. So that was passed. So my staff had put together the exhibits. So we have since dropped that off, what we call put in the hopper. So it's being drafted by the Office of Legislative Counsel in Winter Rock, our attorney. So they're making some edits, and I understand that it should be ready by tomorrow morning, and I'll be in Winter Rock tomorrow morning for a committee meeting. At that point in time, I will sign the legislation, seek some co-sponsors as well, and put it into the submit it to the Office of the Speaker for assignment of a number and assignment to committees. And then it will be posted on the Internet, seeking and soliciting for public comment for 5 days. So it will be posted online. And I really encourage your listeners and also the general public to submit comment via email. Also fax, if you have access to a fax machine, email, and also dropping off letters or even mailing the letters as well. So they can be included as a public comment. And the public comment period, as mentioned, is 5 days. So I'm hoping it will be ready for committee action by at least Wednesday of next week.
Yeah. Now, so for me, you know, I think you bring it up on the comment period. I usually go on the Navajo Nation Council website, and in the last several visits I've made, I have never seen the comment page, and I hope that that you can make sure that it is posted there, so I'm sure that people can engage themselves by making a comment. So, yeah, well, that's very, very interesting. Now, in terms of the so once it's past the 5-day comment period, then it goes into Navigayati, and so most likely this legislation is probably going to possibly be up for vote even during the summer session at best, right?
Well, I believe that in some instances when the Navajo Nation takes an official position, the speaker and his staff are the ones that assign it to the committees. So I have seen position statements of the nation only go to Navigayatje for consideration, since it is the committee of the whole.
Yeah, Amanda, what's your thoughts on in terms of getting the public more involved? You've got several issues that you've addressed on the national level as well as just on the Navajo Nation. So while Mr. Butler is working on this, is there any collaboration that you're thinking about having your group or your organization get involved in this thing?
Well, I think that that is very important at this time, the public comment. Because I think that we, you know, when we talk about certain issues and we talk about how we, you know, nothing gets done, you know, this is how I feel and, you know, nothing ever happens, like this is the time to do that. And I think that's very important. And I will, you know, reach out to my contacts and do what I can to get people involved in this, especially, you know, people in this community. If you could, Mr. Butler, let me know when that happens. I'll be listening out, and, you know, I can post that information on my Facebook, and I know people who have, you know, social media, and we can get this out there so that people can make their comments. And there are people out there who do want to say something, and sometimes they want to do something about some of these things, but they're not really sure how or what they can do. And I think this is definitely one of those moments that we have to seize. But I think that, you know, I think it's just wonderful. Again, I mean, I keep saying this, but, I just think it's wonderful and great that this is happening. And I think that, you know, it's such a great moment. When you see our leaders leading, a lot of the times, especially with the government, our tribal government, sometimes we wonder, you know, what they do. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of things that they have to work on and everything, but to really see someone and hear of someone leading the people in the right direction, and doing something because they believe that it is the right thing to do, that is what you call a leader. And I think that that is great that Mr. Butler is doing this and pushing this. And I also want to thank all of the people with the Navajo Human Rights Commission who are also supporting this as well. Because I think this is one of those issues where people, especially in the political area and arena, don't want to really get involved because maybe it might, you know, affect their, you know, how they look to the public. But I think this is one of those issues where it's, you just have to do the right thing. And, you know, other things, it really doesn't matter, you know, because this is the direction that we need to go to. And I think that we're also seeing that on a national level, too, with non-Native American people who are seeing it as well and thinking, you know what? We do need to rethink ourselves and what we've been raised to believe. And I think that there's this kind of wave of change that is happening right now. And I think that I'm very hopeful right now. And I feel like this is kind of our, the young people's movement almost. You know, we haven't seen a movement like this with the younger generation in a long time. You know, we have the Idle No More movement, and I think that, you know, at the same time, you know, you have this issue as well, and I think that this is great, and I think that our elders, like Mr. McDonald, need to listen to the youth and need to listen to what we have to say, because we are the future leaders, and, you know, they need to understand that this is, times have changed. And they also, they need to support us. And I also want to say that the recently, several months ago, the Diné Medicine Men Association also passed a resolution to support the name change as well. And I was very happy with that because, you know, Navajo people, we're very diverse. You know, you have traditional people, you have, you know, the Christians, you have, you know, people who maybe really don't believe anything, but I think that as the Navajo Nation, I think that we do look to our elders. We do look to our traditional beliefs for advice and for guidance, and that's what I did. And I said, you know, I want to see what our elders think about this issue, because I think that sometimes our elders don't really think about it because it's not something that's in their face. They're not directly affected by this. So I went to them, and they understood it. And they understood exactly what it is that we are trying to do. And their support to me was tremendous. It was bigger than you know, any other, you know, you're hearing a lot about all these supporters out there, like O'Reilly, what's his name, sportscasters out there, big names, you know, who are supporting our issue. You know, the Diné Medicine Men Association's, you know, support of us was much more important to me than anything else. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Because those are our elders.
Yeah.
And those are our medicine people. And so to hear that our you know, a councilman is doing something about it also means a lot, you know, to me, and I think to this issue as well.
Yeah. Well, Amanda and Mr. Butler, I will put you on hold for a break here, and I will bring you back, and we've got some callers and callers. I will also engage you, but we're a little past her time, but it's okay, meaning that she usually comes out at 7:30, and we're talking about some very important issues, and so... At this time, we have Marta Chavala, and she usually has her little weekly blog and or her postage. She is an Navajo businesswoman based out of Windelock, Arizona, and I'm usually absolutely so grateful that she takes the time every week to join us and give her insight. Ms. Marty Shabala, take it away.
Yes, to the listeners and to you, Cal. And this is Marley Shabala from Marley Shabala's Notebook. That's my website if you want to check it out. And this week I was attending the arraignment of Speaker, Navajo Council Speaker Johnny Nays and former Navajo Council Speaker Lawrence Morgan. They were both arraigned in the Windrock, Arizona District Court before Judge Carol Perry. And both of the elected officials pled not guilty to their charges. Lawrence Morgan is facing 7 charges that involve conspiracy to commit bribery and also bribery. The bribery charges, there's 6 bribery charges. And Speaker Nays is facing 12 criminal charges. One of conspiracy to commit bribery and 11 counts of bribery. And on December 3rd is when I learned that Speaker Nays had 11 criminal charges filed against him regarding bribery and conspiracy to commit bribery. And on Tuesday, yesterday, is when I found out that he had an additional charge of bribery. And these bribery charges involve the discretionary funds, or what the council called the financial assistance program. And that was for emergency assistance for the Navajo people that were in most need, and actually prioritized the individuals with the most need, the top most needy were elders who were on a fixed income and needed help with their basic needs, heating, utilities, food, transportation. And the second priority were students that were enrolled in school, post and secondary school, high school, elementary, and that needed help with tuition or any kind of educational needs. And then the third group involved veterans. And the third group involved those that were in need of burial assistance, those family members that were facing, and you never know, you know, about what's going to happen regarding that. And so they said that was one of that would be the third priority. And the fourth priority was organizations, which involved veterans, actually chapters, also youth activities, and senior citizens. But according to the complaints that were filed against both former Speaker Morgan and current Speaker Nays, they pocketed much of that money, thousands of dollars, in a scheme that, and that's where the bribery comes in, for your listeners so they'll understand, is they bribed another council delegate with checks from the discretionary fund to their family members. In return, that delegate would write out checks to the delegate family members. And so you have several delegates involved in the scheme involving Nays and also Morgan. And the...
What does the special prosecutor call that?
Yes. There, when I first broke this story about the misuse, the alleged misuse of the discretionary fund, at that time, that was in 2009, and at that time, I didn't know that they were actually, there was this scheme of, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, and that was, you know, I'll write a check to your wife, and you write a check to my wife, and because the law is clear that those funds could not be used for a council delegate or his family members and relatives. And so to get around that, they decided to write checks to other family members. And that's what was happening with Morgan and Nays, actually. In Morgan's complaint, Nays is named in there as giving money to his family members, and Morgan gave money to Nays' family members. And the money I'm talking about is the Navajo people's money, the discretionary funds, because all of those monies that are spent by the Navajo Nation government are revenues generated from the natural resources and businesses and other natural resources, or, you know, business sites, leases, even home site leases, if you have to pay a fee to get a fishing license, all of that is generating revenue. And it's divided up every year among the three branches, judicial branch, executive branch, and the legislative branch. And between 2009, I think, 2011, which is when those complaints, that period of the scheme occurring, the council allocated over $32 million, you know, just kept pouring money into the discretionary fund. And that discretionary fund was also, a portion of it was provided to the office of the president and vice president. And,
that was what I was going to ask you about next, was that.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about next, is that, it just doesn't apply just to the council delegates. You know, what's your thoughts on why that the rest of the, we don't even know if the executive office was ever, you know, there's members from there, but there's also, from what I read, is that the Navajo Nation legislative staff, there was several that were originally named, but then there was one that was recently added, or... why haven't those other have been publicized as well?
Well, it was until recently that I was able to talk with the special prosecutors directly, and that was yesterday, as Speaker Nays and former Speaker Morgan were leaving the courtroom. I was taking pictures. And the special prosecutors came out of the courtroom, and so I had a chance to talk to them, and I explained that it was really difficult getting copies of or knowing when criminal complaints were filed by them in the district court, and that there were actually some that had gone to the ethics office, and from the ethics office under the new ethics process, it goes to the Office of Hearings and Appeals. And I told them that, you know, we don't know what the status of these complaints are, who's named in these complaints, and we just don't know what's going on unless all of a sudden, there's some complaints that were filed. Like, we didn't even know that there was an amended complaint. There's an additional charge against Speaker Nays. And so after talking with them, they were very open. They said, no, that, you know, they thought that we were getting the information right away, and so they issued that press release, which gave an update of what was happening with all of the complaints that were filed, and that some of them had been settled, There were some still going through the ethics office, and there are those that are in the Window Rock District Court. So I'm collecting all of them, and I have copies of the complaint, but I'm going through them because, and I want to talk to Speaker Nays and Speaker Morgan, I mean, former Speaker Morgan and some of these other council delegates, because they wrote out these checks to children or you know, their own children. And some of them even have nieces that are named and grandchildren. And I just felt that borders on child abuse to me. See, who knows if their own children receive the money or if they just use their children to get the money. And that is so wrong and just appalling that our elected officials would stoop so low. But back to the copies of the complaints. So I'm going through the complaints. I've decided that I'm not going to, I'm blacking out the names of the children, the nieces, the grandchildren. And they don't need to be, they are part of the complaint, but, you know, their names don't have to be out there, you know. But definitely the elected officials and their wives will be in the complaint. People will be able to read the complaint and see the names of the wives and the elected officials, but not the children.
Yeah, and because of these recent filings, or last week we reported that the Elton Shepherd was basically reloading again for round two.
And it was because of former council delegate Raymond Dove, in a court document saying, you know, under oath, Speaker Nays knew that what we were doing was wrong. And he pled guilty to that bribery charge involving Speaker Nays. And so former council delegate Raymond Joe is in one of the complaints of bribery that Nays is facing.
Yeah.
And
there's, wow.
And you know, it's just, I don't know at what point that those elected officials, you know, the bell started going off, and they realized they better start making some deals because the special prosecutors have very strong evidence. And so they started settling their criminal charges basically by saying, I'm willing to say who I went in cahoots with, and now they're coming forward as witnesses against each other. So,
was that what you were talking
about? The ship is going down, and they're all jumping ship. Are you still there, Cal? Hello? Hello? Cal? Oh, I can... Well, I don't know what happened to Cal, folks, but I will continue talking. And I was explaining to Cal that some of these settlements that are being made by some of the council delegates are involving huge amounts of money. I really don't understand how they were able to make the settlements other than they're testifying against their fellow council delegate right now. And one of those council delegates that had his charges dismissed through the Office of Hearings and Appeals, which was an ethics complaint, is Council Delegate Nelson Begay. And he actually sits on the Budget and Finance Committee. And if you go to my website, Marley Shabala's Notebook, you'll see a story that I wrote, and in that story I quote a press release from the special prosecutors regarding Nelson Begay. And Nelson Begay is sounds very strong and very he pretty much condemns the misuse of the financial assistance program. But in the meantime, he had a complaint filed against him, and the complaint that was filed against him involved several thousand dollars. According to the complaint that I have right in front of me, he actually had financial assistance go to his family members, and the amount of money that they received was $4,450. And then other council delegates that provided financial assistance to him provided his family members, which included his wife, with $7,800. But because he said, I will go ahead and be a witness for the prosecution, the prosecutors are in the Office of Hearings and Appeals decided to allow him to have his these charges dismissed, which means that he can actually run for office. Because if you're found guilty of an ethics charge, you can't run for office for 5 years. And
hello, everybody. Can you hear me, Mr. Butler and Amanda?
Yes, I can hear you, Kel.
Oh, my gosh. I apologize. I am not sure what happened. I could hear everybody, but they could not hear me. You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, and I am back. I thank Mr. Joshua Butler from the Navajo Nation Council and also Amanda for being with us. And I am not sure what's going on technically. And so thank you for being on hold. And I know that you guys are got some other things to do rather than listen to dead air. So, again, we're talking about the legislation. And, Mr. Butler, could you tell us the exact number and also the name of the of your legislation?
Yes, let me look. As far as the legislation number, it has not been assigned a number yet, because that number will be assigned tomorrow morning. Let me find the title of the legislation. Just bear with me here. Hold on. Okay, here it is. The legislation is currently in draft form, as I mentioned before. It does not have a tracking number yet, but the title is Relating to Nabik'iyatgit, Opposing the Use of Disparaging References to Native People in Professional Sports Franchises.
Okay. And so, yeah, well, that's very interesting. And I wanted to just be able to comment on as far as my own thoughts on this. I think at first, like, probably many listeners, I used to sit here and assume that it was just a sports team, and I, wasn't very much engaged at that time. But the more that I studied it, and living off the Navajo Nation, just the perception of the Native community out here, as well as just some of the topics that were even going on. I asked a university student who works for the state of Utah, and she was in Washington, D.C., and so I had asked her to be on the show this evening. But anyway, she is also now currently working on getting the University of Utah Running Utes, that name change. And so they're addressing, so it's not just the Washington Redskins, but very interesting enough that now the largest tribe in America is now, so in essence, the way I feel, Mr. Butler, is, you know, you are taking not only just a lead just for a certain number, but, you know, you're taking on a national, you know, a national issue that's been ongoing, as Amanda said, for 20 years. So, you know, from that perspective, I mean, you know, that's quite impressive. And you've heard Marley saying that she, you know, of course, there's a lot of issues that we all know about. And so I really, really do thank you. Mr. Butler, I've got several callers on the phone. Would you mind if there's any questions taking any questions?
Sure, Cal, that's fine.
Okay. And, okay, caller, please turn down your radio. Your telephone number is 510, and there's a lot of feedback. But you are live on air.
Hello. Thank you for presenting this program this evening. It's a really great program. I know we kind of got cut off there. I just have a question for Councilman Butler. Do you think the legislative resolution can be replicated by other tribes seeking to support the name change and an end to the derogatory names towards natives, and understanding that tribes have various executive legislative mechanisms to do so? But also, if Amanda's still there, what do you think will be changed most by winning your case with the trademark board?
Caller, can you give us your name and where you're calling from, please?
Yes, my name is Mary, and I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
Your last name?
Mary Phillips.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Butler, you heard the question.
Hi, Mary. Good evening. Your question was, the first part was directed to me, asking if this resolution that I'm sponsoring at the Navajo Nation Council can be replicated for other tribes. My answer is certainly, most certainly, and I would actually encourage a copy of this resolution to be used as a template and a base for other tribes, the other 500-plus tribes, and their respective tribal councils to pass their own resolutions. Also, I would also encourage the tribal organizations, like, for example, here in Arizona, we have the Intertribal Council of Arizona. And I know in New Mexico, they have the All Pueblo Council as well. And I would encourage those types of organizations to pass such supporting resolutions. And Cal, I want to thank Amanda Blackhorse for reaching out to me yesterday. And yesterday she reached out to me via Facebook and introduced herself and thanked me also for sponsoring such a council resolution. And I in turn also thanked her for her advocacy as well. And it's people like that, the grassroots people, the people that have been consistent in fighting such a case and an issue for many years that should be commended for this work. And they're the ones that are the people that are pushing this, and I'm very thankful for Amanda. And also, Mary, thank you for your question.
Yeah. Amanda, she also asked you a question as well.
Okay. So, hello, Mary. With my case, Black Horse et al. Versus Pro Football. There are five of us, five petitioners in the case, and it's under the Trademark Trial and Appeals Board, for those of you guys who don't know. What I hope that this will accomplish is the cancellation of the team's trademark of, you know, the term, the R word, as we call it. Now, Mr. Snyder and co-owners of the team can do whatever they want to do, and they can call their team whatever they want to call it. But I just hope that with winning this, that they will be forced to change their name, because if their registration is canceled, they will not be able to own a racist term and make money off of it. And so if we win, the team is not going to be forced to change. No one's going to tell them they have to change their name. They will almost be forced to, because they make a huge, you know, most of their revenue is off of merchandise. And they're one of the highest paid football teams out there. And so that's what I hope that we will accomplish. Aside from that, I think that right now what is really putting a lot of pressure on the team, of course, is my case, the Black Horse case, and also the House of Representatives, who proposed a bill in Congress to essentially doing the same thing that this case will do, as well as the public who are swaying public opinion in all of this. And I think that the time will come when Mr. Snyder and the co-owners will have to change the name. I think it's just a matter of time, and I'm very hopeful about that.
Yeah. We have another caller, 714. Are you there? Can you hear me? Do you have a question? I guess they're listening in. This sounds like Tino Redsteer. Hi, Tino, do you have a question for the guest?
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you. Introduce yourself and where you're calling from. Tino, we can hear you. Can you... ask your or make your comment and ask the question, please. So, I guess I'm not sure what's going on, but anyway, and we will. Yeah, he just dropped off again. So, yeah. Well, I do appreciate everybody, and for all you listeners, please, when you there is a slight delay on the radio, so please, when you call in and you're ready to fire away, and I can hear Tino on in the background, so I'm going to put him back on hold, and so there's a lot of feedback, and so. We have a few minutes left here before some of the other callers for the other guests to call in. And so for those who are joining us, and we're talking about the Navajo Nation legislation, and you've heard that there is a new effort to on the Navajo Nation tribal level, and now joining, and it's to me, I think the tribe need to get involved, and I think that's if the tribe steps up. I wonder, yes, it is about business, but this business, I mean, I am totally an advocate of business. I mean, every business ought to get into make a living, and that includes Mr. Dan Schneider. However, there are names, and like in the case where I'm sitting here thinking about this thing, you look at the name Redskins, okay? And really, if you look at it from the standpoint of, you know, what really does the name mean, and again, I think that for all listeners out there, for all of you, as Native Americans, as Dene'itlini, what does the red skin mean? I mean, is it just a name, like somebody that goes out there and says Chevy or Ford? I mean, what do those means, of course, mean? And so it's just a brand name. And so that's the same thing that's happening, is that Redskins. But there are actually two separate words who have come together, red skins. And so you know, it's I really think that right now it's just the public awareness of that this we need to address. And I think I'm just so absolutely thankful for Mr. Joshua LeVar Butler, Navajo Nation Council delegate, to join us. And I think that we've got some more callers calling in.
Cal
and
Mr. Nish.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I'd like to just interject and kind of continue what you had mentioned about the term Redskins. And as we all know, there is a lot of negative impacts of this term.
Yeah.
And,
go ahead.
The Redskins name has roots in violence and racism, and I think we have all identified that as well. And the term comes from a time when bounties were offered for the murder of Native Americans. Scalps of Native Americans, or what they called Redskins, were turned over for money. And that was during the, I believe, the 18th and 19th, 20th centuries even. And the owner of the team at that time, going back into the when the Washington Redskins were organized, the owner at that time was a man named George Preston, and he was known to be a racist, and he was known to be a bigot as well. And the name was created in 1932, and a year later, this man, George Preston, helped institute a 12-year ban on African Americans from playing in the National Football League, and that's according to a National Congress of American Indians report published in 2013, and that's also included in their white paper from the NCAI as well. And Native nations continue to fight against higher than average figures of youth suicide, violence against women, racial and hate crimes, poverty, unemployment, and loss of identity and culture. And there is even statistics that show that the usage of these names discourages our youth, our own Indian youth, and makes them have a lower self-image and self-esteem of themselves. And Cal, what is even worse, those same reports show that the usage of the term actually promotes and also increases the self-esteem of non-Native people as well. And that was included in a report also by Stephanie Freiberg from Stanford University, published in 2004. And for myself as a youth advocate and also as a policymaker for the Navajo Nation, it is incumbent upon me to do something. We have to do something to protect our youth and also our human rights. And there are numerous upon numerous tribes, organizations, and states that have recognized the negative effects and also the negative impacts of such racial epithets and have also adopted policy to prevent such. And I encourage more tribes to do so after the Navajo Nation does such. And they have spoken out against the continued use of these names, like the Redskins. So if anything, I hope that more publicity comes to this because people need to be aware. People need to take a stand. People need to realize that this is wrong. They can't be desensitized to it.
Yeah, very good point. We have a caller. I think
Cal?
This is Sean. Yes.
Cal, I just want to say something really quick.
Amanda, go ahead.
This is Amanda. Sorry. I knew that there was something here. I wanted to double check, but the Intertribal Council of Arizona, which is representative of 20 tribes, passed a resolution or sent a letter of support in November of 2013. So they are on the list of people who do support changing the name. So I just want to say that
now,
real quick.
When was that now? Give us the date again.
That was in November of 2013.
Wow, huh, that's very, very, so that's almost the entire state of Arizona.
Yes, 20 tribes.
Yes.
Cal?
Caller, you're, yes, go ahead, Mr. Butler.
Mr. Nez, just really quick, I thank Amanda for bringing that up, and I'll certainly get a copy of that from the Intertribal Council of Arizona. The Intertribal Council of Arizona is comprised of, I believe, 19 or 21 tribes, minus the Navajo Nation. The Navajo Nation are not members of the Intertribal Council of Arizona. And also, they're not members of the National Congress of American Indian as well. So the passage of this council support resolution will certainly help in this effort more than ever.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's wonderful.
I will email that to you.
Okay. Caller, are you there? Can you
Hello?
Hear me? Yes.
Yeah, I can
Sean?
Hear you. Yes, this is Sean.
Okay.
I was
it's
wondering
your
what come
floor now, Sean.
I was wondering what come where everybody's going against the Redskins. I mean, I'm with those, you know, with whoever against the Redskin name. I don't like the name. I know what it stands for. I know everything about it. But why are we not going after the Cleveland Indians when their spring training is in Phoenix right now? And what come the ones that have been protesting against that? The reason why I brought that subject up is because the other day I was looking for some spring training tickets. I noticed some person posted a, you know, that Native Americans should ban the Cleveland Indians too, you know, and, you know, it's not just, you know, going after the Redskins. And that kind of got me thinking, and, you know, why are we not going after them too?
Is there a question?
Well, let's
specific?
Go after them.
That's just,
let's go
I was just going to ask that.
Why not? Why not? I think that the issue is also about sports mascots, not just the Washington team. And there's so much, it's so big, you know, this issue is so big that, you know, we do need to tackle other teams. We're not saying other teams, you know, it's okay for you to do what you're doing and it's, we're just targeting just this team. You know, I think that we do need to go after them. I think that their caricature, the Cleveland Indians, the red face, is one of the most disrespectful and racist images out there. And I think that it is very disrespectful and it needs to go. And I think that
well,
teams kind of
well,
see
it's
that.
Not just a,
and they're kind of,
it's just not just the Indians, too. There's the Braves. There is
the
Kansas City Chiefs.
The Blackhawks. Yeah, so there's a lot of them. I think right now what I'm hearing, and I know that there are advocates out there also who are addressing, I think, the team, the Cleveland Indians, but what I'm seeing right now is they're kind of backtracking now. The team is kind of seeing that their image is disrespectful, and I think they actually said that they won't use that image when they're in spring training in Arizona, which doesn't make any sense to me because it's still racist anyway. You know, it's like, okay, I'm not going to use it here, but I'll use it anywhere else. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I think that if we continue to advocate and fight for this, I see a change happening. You know, I mean, like you said, it's huge. And we need to do it. We need to tackle it.
Yeah. Amanda and Mr. Butler, we've got another caller. Caller 928 is the area code. You're live. Do you have a please introduce yourself and where you're calling from if you have a question or a comment. Hello? 602. Hello?
Oh, hello. This is Edison Wanika. I just called in just to listen.
Ah, yeah. Okay, yes. I will, you're our next guest, so just go ahead and hang in there, and I'll put you back on hold. So, thank
Mr.
you,
Mr. Nez.
Yes.
Mr. Nez, I wanted to go back to Sean's question. He was asking, why is everyone going against the Redskins? Why are we not going after other teams like the Cleveland Indians, for example? I want to explain that the proposed draft resolution that I have for the Navajo Nation Council's consideration reads on there, under findings and purpose, under section one is several professional sports franchises, including the Washington Redskins, continue to utilize references to Native Americans in mascots and team names. So it's worded to
they're included.
Yeah, they are included, several professional sports franchises. And initially, during my first draft of this, it was reviewed by a policy analyst that found that we couldn't really include collegiate in high school because I believe I was informed by this policy analyst that there was a federal law, which was passed that provides them some protection in getting special permission to utilize such terms at the collegiate and the secondary school level. So this my resolution is only for professional sports franchises in general.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Sean, you're still on on the air, and you're still here. What do you think about that?
I mean, I agree with everything they both of them. You know, I agree with them. I think they should change the name, but I was just wondering why isn't there a lot that, you know, why is the Cleveland Indians playing in Arizona? And, you know, it seems like not a lot of people are really against that. You know, I'm against the Cleveland Indians myself. You know, I don't like the Redskins name. I don't like the Cleveland Indians, you know, and I just don't know. I just barely noticed that like a week ago, I think it was when I was browsing around looking for tickets for spring training. That why isn't anybody protesting at the Cleveland Indian games? And I thought about going out there myself, you know, to see, you know, what happens or, you know, get some people together or some, you know, even if it's just a few of us, you know, you just got to start somewhere, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
That would kind of prepare us from the Washington Redskins come to Arizona this coming year, you know what I mean? And like I said, I'm not really the person that wants to be, you know, up on media or anything like that. But, you know, I'll give all my support to whoever, you know, I'll be out there to attend and, you know, help support whoever's protesting against it. But I was just wondering why we weren't doing it towards the Cleveland Indians when they're when their games and spring trainings are actually here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was kind of more of my question of what was going on.
All right, Sean, you have been an absolute wonderful supporter, and I thank you very much. And you've always have responded to this call, and I think that, in the last few minutes, we've got about 5 minutes right now to cover this topic. So I will give Mr. Butler the opportunity to talk about what do you want to share with your the listeners out there. So it's your floor, Mr. Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Nez. And I want to talk to you also, the listeners, about the situation regarding the Navajo Code Talkers Association and their actions, their most recent actions regarding this topic. And as many of you already know, Redskins owner Dan Snyder has been lobbying Indian Country for support for retaining the use of such disparaging moniker. And he has met with several tribes already in non-publicized meetings all of last year. And also last November, he actually flew several of our own honored heroes, the Navajo Code Talkers, to Washington under the guise of honoring them. In November of last year, I spoke out against these his underhanded tactics publicly. And that was November of last year. And even in comments at the Navajo Nation Council session proceedings, that was during the fall session, I made it clear to my colleagues on the Navajo Nation Council that we must no longer just stand idly and watch things like this happen on a national level. And as the largest nation in the country, Indian Nation in the country, we must take a stand. We must show unity with our fellow colleagues in our tribes across the country. And also on February 28, 2014, I learned that the Navajo Code Talkers Association met again with Redskins owner Dan Snyder at the Navajo Nation Museum in Winter Rock, and that was just last Friday. These meetings give the appearance that the Navajo Nation condones and even endorses the use of disrespectful terms like Redskins. And I sit on the the Health Education and Human Services Committee of the Navajo Nation Council. It's one of the five standing committees. And there at that committee level, as a committee member, I advocate for various issues. One of them, I am a veterans advocate. I believe we should honor the sacrifice of our warriors, but these underhanded tactics, like Mr. Snyder's, to supposedly honor our heroes is not right. It's not right. And Dan Snyder is using our beloved heroes as a public relations stunt to advance his campaign to keep the disparaging team name, Redskins. It's obviously just a ploy to continue the derision of our people in Indian country. And I certainly take this issue with the Redskins team preying on our cherished Navajo heroes very seriously. It is very bothersome. And these recent awards ceremonies that we have had recently in Washington, D.C., is truly honoring our co-talkers from not just the Navajo Nation, but across the country with other tribes as well. That's true honoring of our co-talkers. These ceremonies on Capitol Hill are legitimate. They're true. But when our co-talkers are paraded around on a football field and wearing team jackets that say Redskins, that's wrong. And there's a lot of questions that arise from that youth. And I think as a Navajo Nation, we need to take the leadership role. We need to stand together with our brothers and sisters across Indian country. And there's many recent incidents of racial stereotyping. And for example, Mr. Nez, in 2013, an Alabama high school, McAdory High School in McCalla, Alabama, used a football banner that read, "Hey, Indians, get ready to leave in a trail of tears, round two." And that was publicized on Facebook as well. Again, in 2013, a Tennessee high school banner read, "Trail of Tears." And again, in 2013, a Cal Poly Tech fraternity hosting a party with the theme, "Colonial Bros and Navajos." And I took offense to that as well. And our own Human Rights Commissioner, Dr. Jennifer Rose DeNetzio, who I have a lot of respect for, I was so happy she responded swiftly to this issue. And I commend our Human Rights Commission for their astute response to all of these issues that I had mentioned. And currently, there's current litigation with Urban Outfitters, as another example, for the commercialization of the word Navajo for some of their underwear that they have been marketing. I would also remind the public that the Navajo Nation is still currently in litigation with the company Urban Outfitters for using our name, Navajo, on their articles of clothing. Navajo also continues to fight to end the disrespect and racism and ignorance that Indian country faces. And this is a very important issue, and it's definitely not one to be taken lightly by me or by the Navajo Nation Council. And again, I thank Amanda for her effort, her grassroots efforts, and I thank her for her work, and I'm looking forward to partnering with her as I push this through the council and also to the national stage. So I thank her for her advocacy and also for her partnership in doing so. Mr. Nez.
Yeah, Lashanant, those are absolutely very, very powerful words. Jonia. Do njona go shi da nihid nedo da tebeti ishkliji da tsongo da huis ago shi bantsin case do nishin lido jokoro e di do do e shansla e wa da do neta hi no chihe nihle cho e vini nashin shi da tebeti hui da beti ke da ultron e shi da ado jo sto konda di ne neni tlini nihiji e do da o di da ni tlini khada shi bti shi a don atan lini choi choi lo hon de a choi da ta kon de a bigje we're all included in hadlo an hitilia a ko even na kroiban si ke so jo no choi even ni nacheta so and again you know it's very very impressive that you are well prepared in your preparation to be able to get this word out. Not only are you just hitting this on a local level, but you're basically going worldwide using the part of the indigenous clause in the United Nations. So from that standpoint, I can sense your passion Mr. Butler, and I'm very honored that you took the time this evening with us. I really, really do appreciate it. And periodically, I hope that you can call in and give us some update on this thing. And, of course, specifically for this issue, I'm very grateful for your involvement.
Mr. Nez, I really appreciate the invitation to put this item as one of your discussion topics on your radio program. And again, I thank Amanda for her advocacy, and I look forward to working with her in the next few months to bring some attention to our efforts here from the Navajo Nation. And also thank you also to your listeners. The legislation should be dropped for the 5-day comment period tomorrow afternoon, and we will try our best to let people know to submit public comment. Public comment can be made via email, by fax, or by written letter to the Office of Legislative Services in Winter Rock.
Perfect. That's good to know. Agushilao, okay, thank you very much. And
hey,
we'll,
Cal. I just
we will let
say,
you go, and
Cal,
I've got Amanda. Now it's your time. Hello, Amanda.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Hi.
She's,
okay, well, I just
she's jumping
say
the gun.
You.
You're not going to be left out, Amanda. I guarantee
yeah,
you that.
Don't leave me out now. Well, I just want to say thank you, both of you guys, for all your support, and Mr. Butler. I look forward to this, and I'm very excited. I'm very proud, and I'm pumped right now. And this is good. This is good energy. And to Sean, if you want to protest the Cleveland Indians, let's do it. Let me know. You can contact me on Facebook. I know that this next season, the Washington team is scheduled to play the Cardinals at home. So we will definitely get prepared for that. They do continue to have the racist name. So, but thank you, and have a good evening, everyone.
Thank you very much, Amanda. You're doing some good work, and I do appreciate your dedication. It's very impressive that people are passionate about something, and everybody needs to keep a level head about this thing, and because it is about who we are, and we just need to keep going. And I thank all of the callers, and we have Mr. Ed Vicente, but we have Edison Winika also on the other line, and we'll just have a brief break, and we will get into another exciting topic, and that's the Navajo Nation elections. We have the Navajo Nation presidential candidates. They are filing, I assume they are, council delegates and all the way across the board. And we will have Mr. Edison Winika give us an update on all of that. And again, you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation.
You're listening to Navajo Digital Radio, Politics on the Navajo Nation. The radio show that's raising standards of Navajo intellect. A real paradigm shift. No double talk, no fool. Operating Navajo Graphic Design and Advertising Agency, CalNez Design.
Oh,
yat eh da huis agot anot tohashin zara da isonot ta. I again want to thank all of my guests who have been with us from the beginning, and thank Amanda. And it looks like I just got Marley Shabala back. I can see her on the on the board, and I will bring her back the last few minutes. So Marley, if you can just hang in there with us, I will bring you back. I want to talk to you, and we got cut off for some reason. So right now, we have a special guest also, Mr. Edison Wanika, who is the director or executive director of the Navajo Nation Elections Office. And I want to be able to spend the next few minutes and talk about the Navajo Nation Elections Office. There's people all across the United States, as well as overseas, who are interested in politics. You can look at the politics on the Navajo Nation Facebook page. So there's interest. People are, how do they register? And we'll cover all of that. Of course, Mr. Wanika, can you hear me? I'm not sure where he's at, but we'll try to bring him back on. Hello, Mr. Wanika. Sorry about that.
Yes,
I don't know what happened.
How are you doing?
Yat eh nantani jeta onse.
Yat eh, it's not coming through very good because I'm using a cell phone.
Okay. Yeah,
so
go ahead. You're on air. Yeah, I can hear you, and yeah, just go ahead and introduce yourself. Where you're, but yeah, exactly. Just go ahead. It's your time now, Mr. Edison Wanika.
Okay, hey, hello, Kyle. Say Edison Wanika. Yeah, and I'm the executive director of Navajo Nation Election Administration, and my responsibility has to do with making sure that the election process of the Navajo Nation is carried through Title 11. That's the title that we work with, and our responsibility is all based on the law, the Title 11. So it's mandatory that we comply with the law in reference to Title 11. So for this upcoming election, it's the elections for the Navajo Nation President, Vice President, Navajo Nation Council, Navajo Board of Election Supervisors. On the Navajo Board of Election Supervisors, they're the only ones that have a staggered terms. So five of them are elected during chapter officers election. So the other five is going to be elected during this election for the President and Navajo Nation Council. And then also we have the Navajo Board of Education, and then also the Kayenta Township Commissioners. And that's only for the people that reside in the township in Kayenta. And those are running for president. Fighting fee is $1,500. And those are running for council delegate will be $500. And all other position is $200. And the filing opened on February the 27th, last month. And the last day to file will be May 28th, 2014. And one of the things that we always get response on is, why do you have a filing open for 3 months? Whereas the county, state, and for federal positions, the filing is only one day. And that's one thing that the Board of Election Supervisors has been working on, to see if we could condense it maybe to 2 weeks or even 1 week. What we usually get is, right now, there's hardly anybody filing for a position. Usually they wait until the last day. On May the 28th, we'll probably have a line. People will be coming in all day. So that's one of the reasons why we were talking about maybe the best thing to do is just open the filing just for a week or so. And the primary election is going to be taking place on August the 26th. And on August the 26th, we
have our election. It coincides with the Arizona primary election. One of the things that we've been trying to do is maybe come up with a Super Four. Arizona, Utah, New Mexico, and Colorado, working with the governors and the people, the legislators from those four states, if we can convince them, if they could have the primary election on the same day, and we could schedule ours to coincide that Super Four or whatever, it will be very effective, and I know that it will maximize voter participation. That's one of the things that we always are working for, is to maximize having people participate in the election process. And the election is the same as the national election, and that's on November 4th, 2014, and it's on a Tuesday also. So those are the things that we're working on, and there's a lot of our people that have moved on to urban areas for jobs, for school, and then we have a lot of our people in the military also. So we also have absentee voting that we provide for those that can't make it to the polls on election day. And the absentee ballots become available on July the 28th, but that's when we actually send them out to the people that apply for absentee ballots. They can apply any time. They can apply. Some of them have already applied to vote absentee. So as soon as the ballots become available, we send them out to those that have applied to vote by absentee. So those are some of the things that we're working on. I think I can provide additional information based on questions that might be coming through. And I don't know if you want me to go ahead and reiterate this in Navajo. Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm just listening away.
Huh? Navajo Board of Education, but no, Township Commissioners, but no, August
Yeah, well, that's really good to know. Again, I know. Of course, so Mr. Winika, I wanted to ask you a question in reference to the, you know, for all those people that are, you know, that the overall population of the Navajo Nation is about 350,000 thereabouts, and about 150 of that living on the Navajo Nation, and the rest off the Navajo Nation. Joy Hutoi Kwege and that is that now, what does the general public, in order to get this election so that people are engaged in various different locations, what does the general public need to do for these urban Navajos? Like, one of the recommendations that I've made on Facebook is that why not have actual polling places at, like, for instance, in Phoenix, Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, Utah, Denver, Albuquerque, and get the Navajo Nation election office representatives to bring a polling area so that people can go to these locations. What does it need to take in order to have that thing happen?
Yes, yeah, that's a very good question. And we used to do that with the Phoenix Indian Center, and then at the youth center in Albuquerque, provide a two-day. It's really just absentee voting that they do, walk-in voting, where they can come in and they get absentee ballot, and they go ahead and mark the ballot as far as their choice of candidate, and they go ahead and just put it in a ballot box. So that's one of the things that's very effective. And a lot of people, like when we go to Phoenix, sometimes on a Saturday, and Friday and Saturday, sometimes it's 600 voters. But the only problem with that is the time limit that we have in preparing for the primary election and then preparing for the general election between the primary and the general. The time to take care of those requests like that, my staff, they don't have the time to do that. And then also cost-wise, the Navajo Nation Council, when they provide the funding to us, they don't provide funding to hire additional staff to respond to those types of requests. So that's a big problem we have. But we were able to do that in the past, but we started to get a lot of requests, like from Las Vegas and from San Francisco and Salt Lake. And if we have too many of those that are being requested, then we just won't have the time to go out to those locations, because one of the things that we have is we have to ensure that the security of the ballots. And usually it's the Navajo Nation election staff that have to go out there. And it's really not very cost-effective. And for that reason, what we're doing is we need to enhance the built-in voting. That's the best way that we can do. And we need to identify some people at those urban areas
so that they can assist us and make it clear that they provide the information to the Navajo voters in those urban areas. And so we really had a lot of discussion on that, and I agree with you. But that is a real good question.
Yeah, well, you know, I would like to just publicly ask on behalf of Salt Lake City that I would like to try to do everything we can to have a polling area or a voting booth up here. So, Shananda, if there's any way that we can facilitate that, and it sounds to me like it needs to probably go through funding and whatever is possible, because I think that, you know, from our standpoint, you know, with the elections usually happening on a Tuesday, you know, it's very difficult to get, 150,000 people traveling thousands of miles from the Navajo Nation. And imagine if all of those 150,000 collectively, what their expenses would be to travel back to the Navajo Nation and back to their residents just to cast a single vote, you know, the cost is probably outweighing what six or seven representatives or a set of them coming to our location. I think the offset would be much greater, and I think that our leaders ought to take that initiative to say, hey, you know what, we got to increase funding for this and find a way to, you know, to make this thing possible, because I think inclusion is really what it's all about. So, I mean, you hit it right on the head. And I mean, it's really, if you look at the Facebook, I mean, there's just one medium, or, you know, social media, and they are really expressing. So I think that the interest is there. So, Mr. Winika, thank you for being with us. And just real quickly, we only got just a few minutes left. And so any closing word?
Okay. Appreciate it, Cal. I really do. And I think most important is we just need to really increase our voter registration. Those urban Navajos, if they want to register, the only problem with our registration is registration has to be done by registrar. So if they're not registered, they can call the Navajo Nation Election Office. Just giving you the central office is 1-800-775-8683. They can call us, and then a registrar can get on the line, and they can fill out the form. And what they'll do is they'll send it to the voter and ask them to provide the documents that are needed, like a driver's license, CID, or whatever, and send it back, sign it and send it back, and then they'll be registered for the upcoming election. So,
yeah,
things like that, I think we need to work closely with our voters. So I really appreciate this.
Okay, I appreciate it, Mr. Winika. So thank you, and we'll probably call you back and have you be a guest with us. And that was Mr. Edison Winika from the Office of Navajo Nation Elections. So the last few minutes, I want to bring back Marley. Marley, are you still with us? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, we only got a few seconds left, so I'm sorry to, you know, I don't know what happened technically, but go ahead. Anything in closing you want to share with us?
Yes, well, tomorrow is when the Navajo Nation Council's Navajo Committee is going to be meeting, and on their agenda is the proposed legislation from Delegate Alton Shepard for the council to remove Delegate Johnny Nays as Speaker because of his loss of good standing, which is a legal requirement to be Speaker. And in speaking with Delegate Shepard, he said that he sponsored this second legislation for the removal of Speaker Nays, because several of the delegates who had actually voted in support of, who opposed Speaker Nays' removal, were now saying that after former delegate Raymond Joe's guilty plea and naming Mr. Nays, that they felt that they would, that Speaker Nays needed to step down.
Yeah.
So that's going to be happening tomorrow. So check out my blog. I'll be blogging from there, and I'll try to share what I have onto politics of the Navajo Nation. But if you can't, if I don't have time, I'll check my blog out. Molly Shabal,
okay. Thank you very much, Molly. I appreciate it. Thank you. And you can contact her and Google Molly Shabala's notebook. And thank you very much, Molly. And thank you for sharing that with us. And we have one caller that's been hanging on, and I'll give them just a few seconds. Hello, caller. You got a comment. You only got 15 seconds. Go ahead and shoot.
Cal, are you talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Cal, this is Lorenzo Bates. Like I told you, I would call if I got done with my chapter meeting, and I got done, I said I was on, and so I'm living up to my word that I'm calling you back. I got to listen to Edison and then Marley, so here I am.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Unfortunately, we got about 25 seconds. So anything you want to say in reference to what's been discussed, give us an update, what your committee or, you know, just share with us.
Well, on Edison's talk on monies outside of what is allocated,